ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Why did Matthew Flinders write such saucy letters to his best friend, George Bass?
Who really chopped off Chopper's ears?
And why did they name a swimming pool after an Australian Prime Minister who drowned?
I mean, why didn't they just use Harry Holt's high school nickname, Puss? These are the kind of historical questions we'll be asking on The Dead Can't Sue.
Search The Dead Can't Sue podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Victorians have a new premier, with Ben Carroll taking on the state's top job. Jacinta Allen stepped down ahead of the Labor caucus vote, saying she believed it was the best thing for the party and Victorian people. The former premier suggested her deputy Ben Carroll would have her unqualified support in the role if he was to win the vote. But what was expected to be a smooth transition of power was briefly complicated by another MP nominating to contest the leadership and some yelling from the caucus. It was unruly, it was chaotic, but they do now have a new leader. So will a leadership reset give the Victorian Labor Party the clear air it needs ahead of the November election? Welcome to Politics Now. Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis.
And I'm Raf Epstein from ABC Radio in Melbourne.
Which is totally the perfect person to be talking to. We have both spent the entire morning, I've heard you speaking to talkback callers, speaking to your contacts. I've been on the TV explaining how these processes broadly work. Obviously, I come from a political federal prism looking at the Labor Party. But it is a huge day. Ben Carroll announced as the new premier, officially sworn in now, has gone to Government House. Gabrielle Williams, who's from the left, has been elected as the deputy premier. Jacinta Allen resigned from the role, even though just yesterday she stared them down, didn't she? And
she
said,
tried.
I'm not going. But she lost the numbers. But then, Raf, what on earth happened in the caucus? It's the stuff of fiction.
It's been a wild, wild ride. First, importantly, the plot has won. And importantly, if you're outside of Victoria, there's going to be a royal commission started by a Victorian government into corruption in the construction industry. So they are the headlines. But in the middle of all of that, you will know this, PK. They've been trying to push Jacinta Allen on for a while. It hasn't worked because Jacinta Allen has always said, you come at me and I will also put my name in the hat to be leader. That means you don't just have the Labor votes inside Parliament. You've got the Labor votes outside of Parliament. That's messy. That's protracted. She's held that up as a trump card. The issues have built and built. Issues that I think people outside of Victoria know about, especially crime, especially corruption. What's amazing is that for the first time yesterday, in the Victorian cabinet room, for the first time, it's 2026, right? July 2026. They had a debate about whether or not Victoria needs a royal commission into corruption in the construction industry. That in and of itself is amazing. That is what we are going to get. There is so much bad blood. There is so much anger. There are so many nasty things said on both sides to me very privately. It now has resolved itself as something that looks relatively simple. Mm. I think there could be a big cost. We're something like 14 weeks away from early voting, which is not really that long. Voters are going to remember 2 days of coverage where they are essentially a daggers drawn. I don't know what metaphor you want to use. You know, two cars driving at each other on the road. Some really nasty things have been said about either side. Claims that they weren't faceless men, they were headless chooks. Claims that the Premier and her supporters were trying to burn down the house and burn all the bodies. I mean, these are really visceral, angry things that were said. But now we've got Ben Carroll and he's got to try and, I guess, convince voters that it's a substantially different government. One other thing to keep in mind, he's been in the ministry since these guys got into government. He's been a junior minister in the first term and he's been in the cabinet for the last two terms. He's been corrections minister. He's been roads minister. He's been education minister. So, like, you know what? In state politics, crime, roads, schools, they're issues that come up a lot. So hard for him to say, hey, I can do something totally different. That's a big sell.
It's a huge sell. And what that messy caucus meeting, sure, now they'll spin to you. Hang on a minute, we only had one that walked out.
One of the ministers walked out and said, there's nothing unusual about this.
Oh.
Even though there hasn't been a contest like this in Labor in Victoria
since John Cain, right?
I think since the 90s. Someone said to me the 90s. I don't know if it was as ugly.
I mean for Labor.
In government.
In government.
No,
and even John Cain stood down. So,
this is pretty unprecedented.
Yeah, it's the in government part.
We do things special in Victoria. We do demonstrations. We do lockdowns. And we do, don't forget, the Liberal Party in Victoria, their ability to politically self-immolate. We just, here in Victoria, we know how to dial things
we
up to 11.
We are so extra.
How we are.
We kind of are.
That's how we roll.
And it's, by the way, what I love about the place, right?
But you know who said that to me? It was someone in the federal Labor sphere. Said to me yesterday, because I was sort of ringing around, what is it with Victoria? Mm. They were like, it's not the same where I am. Mm. What is it about Victoria? But what do you think? What do you think people need to know, especially about what Labor's challenge is?
Well,
in Victoria?
The first and foremost, beyond changing policies, rebuilding trust with voters who are clearly cranky because they're the chief things, is keeping the show together. Now, I know he's walked out being the premier, but if you're yelling in a caucus meeting, if you are, you know, dancing with the idea of a one-month ballot in the rank and file, as Sonia Kilkenny, the Attorney General, I'm sure all those positions
were changed. That's the prospect she was bringing up.
She puts her hand up. If you're Jacinda Allen and you say in your exit speech, I would have won a rank and file vote, which she said, right? I mean, she didn't need to say that. I thought that was gratuitous. We all know she's of the left. I actually assume she would, because often rank and file Labor members are more left-leaning. And, yeah, I can see the maths. Let other people write that, Jacinda Allen. It was unusual she contributed it. It showed that there is a lot of acrimony. And
she did say Ben Carroll will have her unqualified support.
But then half of her faction went ballistic, didn't they?
They did.
In the caucus,
the people
meeting.
Who'd been supporting her for days went ballistic. I think the other sleeper issue, and it's not really that much of a sleeper issue. One of the people who was really keen to get rid of Jacinta Allen and backed Ben Carroll said to me, "The people calling for a royal commission, and this is inside the Victorian Cabinet room, the people calling for a royal commission have nothing to fear. The people calling for a royal commission sleep well at night." Now that's a very pointed implication from someone who feels their hands are clean, that other people in government could have a really uncomfortable time in a royal commission. Now, I don't know the logistics. They say, by the way, people who are backing Ben Carroll, that you can get a royal commission up and running and doing serious work before the election. Now, they go into caretaker mode, election mode, in 12 weeks' time. So I'm not sure about the logistics of that. And I don't want people to take from my comments that there's any proven allegations, because there certainly isn't against ministers. However, the uncomfortable questions of, if Nick McKenzie can dig this stuff up 2, 3, 4 years ago, what did you know about it? What did you see? What did you say? It's one thing to answer those questions at a press conference or a parliamentary committee. To answer that in front of a royal commission in the lead up to an election, and the fact that you might know that you are there because your colleagues knifed Jacinta Allen as premier, just the prospect of that. They're the conversations they're having. That's the sort of tension and the fear of those events, or the contemplating of those events. That's the stuff Ben Carroll has to paper over. That's tough.
It's very tough. And the other challenge for Ben Carroll, and I want to get to the federal implications. People listen to us around the country and the world, actually, and I love that. But
you're huge in Reykjavik.
I am huge. Yeah. We are huge everywhere.
Well, I'm big in Osaka, apparently.
Really?
Apparently.
I think some people like me in London. Mm. Now, let me tell you, Ben Carroll. So his challenge, we're recording this before he addresses the media, and no doubt there'll be pressure on him to address the media today, announce a royal commission, other things too. Is he going to settle the pay issue, which he hasn't been able to with the teachers? I mean, full disclosure, I'm married to a teacher, so like I see this dispute in my household, and you know, teachers are pretty cranky. So all of that going on, he needs to, and I'm going to be blunt, he almost needs to throw everyone under the bus to show I'll be different, we'll be new, but he can't. So how does he say what happened was wrong, I'm going to investigate it all, and not agitate people in his own caucus? He can't, and that's his challenge.
He will try to. One of the things, actually, you know, that one of the plotters said to me over, I think they said this to me Sunday night, Ben's going to go out there and say, this is a good government that lost its way. They were Gillard's words, right, against Rudd. It didn't work, right? It just sowed more seeds of bitterness and resentment. They do feel, so the big issues are the Royal Commission, There are people in that cabinet who want some mandatory sentencing, especially for teenage offenders. Judges don't like it. A lot of Labor people don't like it. That's one way that you could tackle crime. So they do genuinely feel that if they do a Royal Commission, if they have some really tough laws on crime, and by the way, they think that even though the tunnel borers are in the ground and digging, I don't know if they're digging, but they're certainly being built to be in the ground soon for the suburban rail loop. They feel that they can in some way divert billions of dollars from that project to other desperately needed areas of government. I'm not quite sure how they persuade Anthony Albanese. Hey, by the way, PM, that $2 billion, $5 billion you gave us for the suburban rail loop, we'd like to spend it somewhere else. The problems are huge, but they do think if they move on these issues, crime, corruption, SRL, they can then put a positive spin on all the other things that they have done and that they will have a chance. And one of the things, to be honest, Jacinta Allen's people said to me, our votes at about 25 on average, which is only one in four people. They just got to lift the primary 3%, 4%, 5% and we can win this thing. Now, that is true mathematically. The people who have been pushing for Ben Carroll to take over, they think if they quarterize those three issues, crime, corruption, SRL, they think they can build the primary vote. You're entirely right. You've got to throw a lot of people under the bus and you've got to answer a lot of questions about why this hasn't been done beforehand and why didn't you speak up beforehand. They think it's possible. Jacinta Allen thought it was possible for her to lift her primary by 3 or 4%. So there's a lot of belief in Labor ranks in Victoria. We'll see what happens.
There's also another part, which is a lot of disbelief. So it's a mixed story.
Right? Oh, it's a very mixed story.
And let's go segue, if we can, to how federal Labor is viewing this. So a lot of – okay, so I was at the National Conference, as you know, in Adelaide. And there was I had a few conversations with people saying key left-wing federal figures, like, for instance, Minister Andrew Giles, who's a left-wing federal minister, they've now moved against Jacinta Allen too because the federal – I mean, they don't get a vote in the caucus. But, you know, there are – the way the factions work, if you care about Labor shenanigans, these things matter. Now – you know, I've just got a call basically saying, hang on a minute, that's not what happened. Andrew Giles has told his colleagues he's stood by Jacinta Allen to the bitter end. Why does that matter? Because you might think, why does that matter? I think right now there's a lot of people who just want to say there's been a lot. It just shows the ugliness in all of this. There's a view that the right to build momentum to roll Jacinta Allen, which they've done, have been trading a little bit in inflating the figures, the names that all have moved against her to create an inevitability about it. Is that fair, Raf, that there's been a big show?
That's definitely the way they've done it. And I think – so you and I have probably said to each other in the past, the left and right faction, that's just a label. It's a system of –
occasionally there are some values,
sure.
But yeah.
But really it's about a way to organise, and you owe favours to people. If you're someone like Mark Dreyfus and you don't pay homage to those particular labels, you end up getting dumped by others. And it's worth keeping in mind as well, Anthony Albanese is from the left, supported by the left. The left is dominant federally. Jacinta Allen was supported by the left. That's the reason Dan Andrews was able to install her as Premier. The left have split. Victoria's always been really important in Labor Party politics. The left faction split. Gabrielle Williams, who's going to be the Deputy Premier, she's of the left. She's part of that delegation who went to Jacinta Allen and said the time is up. I do think if the left faction has split in Victoria, and keep in mind Federal Labor's actual vote, you know, its reputation with voters, it's been really good lately, so Victoria's still important electorally as well as factionally. If the faction in the Victorian Parliament that is left splits, what does that mean federally? Does it mean the labels and the factional system can't be relied on anymore? I think it sort of weakens, maybe doesn't weaken those bonds. It might very well reorganise some of the bonds that tie the factions together. And that could definitely have implications for federal Labor.
It is having implications. As I say, my lens is much more federal.
Also, the other thing people said to me, federal Labor. Now, look, Labor people are Labor people. They're loyalists. And they begin every conversation saying, oh, look, of course I want Labor to win Victoria. One thing I definitely think, and federal Labor people have said to me, if you end up with a Jess Wilson coalition minority government relying on One Nation, and the whole thing, Catherine Wheels, out of control, that's a very convenient thing. A year or a year and a half out from a federal election for federal Labor to say, look, You see, over there, you brought your protest vote. You got Labor. You
that's
got the
exactly
Libs
and
the
plan.
So that's
literally the plan.
Yes,
I've heard that from pretty much everyone. Yeah,
yeah.
That is the entire plan.
And bookended by, of course, I want Labor to win, but everyone can see the writing on the wall. It's harder for Labor to win in Victoria. It's not impossible. Much harder for Labor to win. Very likely that you'll end up with a group of people very likely you're going to end up with the coalition either winning or relying on One Nation. But, yeah, the federal Labor can read the writing on the wall. It wouldn't be the worst thing for Anthony Albanese and the federal government.
So one of my Liberal contacts sent me this message, which made me laugh. I was talking a little earlier, and I'm segueing to this because I want to have a chat about it, to Moira Deeming, who has officially now resigned, sent her resignation to Jess Wilson, the Liberal leader. And this person texted me, "Stop fixating on us lowly Libs. It's Vic Labor's turn for circus tricks." And I thought it was funny, fixating. Well, fixating or Moira Deeming? That reminds you of the chaos on the other side, right? She's officially resigned now. That was a thorn in Jess Wilson's side. Now it's gone, isn't it? She's got the thorn out.
It's not ancient history. It's 11 days ago, Moira Deeming. So just to keep in mind, essentially the battle there, I hate to say this, but the battle there really sparked by a fight over the trans community, devolved into a defamation battle, burnt a Liberal leader in Victoria, and has now finally led, after a series of other allegations and claims around police and assault and everything, to Moira Deeming being kicked out. She's sort of on the hard right of the party. It only happened 11 days ago. And really, Moira Deeming, in many ways, is sort of poking an eye in the Victorian Liberals' face. You know, on a day when the new media coverage in Victoria should be dominated by Labor Party shenanigans, new leader, just a little reminder, Moira Deeming chose today to announce she's going to sit on the crossbench. She's going to get kicked out of the Liberal Party anyway. She didn't have to announce it today. Just a little reminder, Liberal Party have their own problems.
It did feel like that, didn't it?
There's lots of history here. You know, in 1996, the Coalition won in Victoria. Then they won in 2010. That means the Coalition have won twice in 30 years in Victoria. Twice in 30 years. It's still a big sell to persuade state voters to elect the Coalition, to just remind them again, oh, there's this Moira Deeming thing, this issue that's got nothing to do with your everyday life. It's not the end of the world, but it's a sign that not all of those troubles have gone away inside the Coalition in Victoria either.
Now, the new Premier is speaking in about 10 minutes, but he will likely announce a Royal Commission.
Well, he'll definitely mention it. So, I mean, you've got to send the letters patent off to the Governor and draw up some terms of reference.
Announced that he intends to move towards.
But what I was going to get to, I wonder if he's already got things like terms of reference, because it's the obvious question, right? If he takes questions, it's the obvious question. How big's your Royal Commission going to be? What's it going to cover? Can you give us some sense? Now, he might decide to avoid all of those questions, which is, I mean, the guy's just been sworn in, so he could. But there's definitely people have had ideas about what a Royal Commission should look like. The other thing that will really cause issues, and it'll cause issues as one of the most progressive states in the nation, mandatory sentencing, which judges and lawyers hate. I mean, that actually would be the sort of thing Ben Carroll might want to throw. I know the people backing him have talked about it to me. Throw that out there. What sort of signal might Ben Carroll want to give? We're going to be super tough on crime to the point where the civil rights groups and judges and lawyer groups get pissed off. That might be the very signal Ben Carroll wants to send to say he's setting some sort of new direction. The new direction, the phrase he mentioned in his Instagram video, he also needs to learn to smile in his Instagram videos. That would be helpful. Just saying. I know it's been a tough few days.
Not good.
Look, PK.
Come on.
I am no socials expert. I am sure that appearing full of life and happy.
You make some good viral videos, my matey.
Well, thank you. But smiling is always a good idea on the socials.
It is tricky, though.
It is.
Yeah. I've got to say, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't see him as a fantastic retail politician.
Look, so that's the other part of the story.
Am I missing something?
No. Look.
He's no Brax, mate.
It's not as if everyone's been saying, oh, my God, why haven't they chosen Ben Carroll? He's this once-in-a-generation politician. I mean, none of the current crop of Victorian politicians really stand out as fantastic, wonderful communicators. Jess Wilson, the current coalition leader, Liberal leader, very disciplined, had a few sort of rocky issues at the beginning, very good at delivering a message. None of them are standout star performers. Ben Carroll's, I mean, to be really brutal, he's fine. Like, he's totally fine. But Is he the sort of person you would pick from central casting if you want to totally rebrand a 12-year-old government, a party, by the way, that's been in power for all but four of the last 27 years? I'm not sure he's going to spark a wildfire of enthusiasm and excitement. However, they've been in a place where Jacinta Allen just couldn't get any message out. And so if you've got steady and reliable, maybe that's enough to get you to where you want to get to in November.
Yeah. I mean, I've got another funny message. I just have to share all the funny stuff, which was, I have to read it again. This is a sort of funny Labor contact who says, on a lighter note, they certainly found a distraction from the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah, yes.
And explain why that matters. I'll just give you the first line. Victoria was meant to have the Commonwealth Games. My daughter the other day was lamenting, I would have loved to go watch the swimming. Well, we don't have the Commonwealth Games, but we paid $500 million for the right not to have it, Raph.
I think only 200 million goes to Glasgow, but yes, hundreds of millions have gone there.
Yes.
Look, it's just a reminder. Let's just pretend there'd been no pandemic. Let's just pretend social media did not exist. Everything that isn't working in Victoria right now, you could sheet home to a government that's been there for most of this century. So that's the starting point. Add things like crime, add things like corruption, add things like the Commonwealth Games. There are constant reminders of the barnacles on the side of the state Labor ship. I think their federal Labor colleagues are just going to sit back and watch. Angus Taylor is going to be looking and seeing what happens to all those national seats in the Victorian regions. Jeff Kennett was kicked out when the regions were furious with him in 1999. Regional Victoria swings and swings hard. Do they swing hard against Labor? Probably. The polls indicate that. But do they swing towards the Nats and towards the new Nats leader in Victoria, a bloke called Danny O'Brien? Or do they swing hard to One Nation? Jess Wilson, I'm just going to big us up here in Victoria for a moment, Patricia, because you and I both remember when Victoria didn't matter on the federal political scene, and we felt neglected by Western Sydney and by all those seats.
They were dark days.
This is the big test case, right? Like, I know One Nation were a factor in the South Australian election, but that's a young government with a really powerful, very popular premier. Mm-hmm. This is a real test. Okay, the Liberal Party, can they cut through against One Nation when they've got a government not definitely about to lose, but really facing a lot of challenges? Here's the test. Can the Liberal Party turn that into support for them, or do they constantly get trumped, pun intended, by One Nation? Like, this is the laboratory experiment, perhaps even more than the New South Wales election next year. This is the laboratory experiment. Wide open field, Liberal Party, National Party. Walk on in. What can you do? And keep in mind as well, I'm not sure we've mentioned, there's no One Nation leader in Victoria.
Oh, it's
there are no candidates in Victoria.
It just shows, I think, the most disturbing part, if we can be a bit serious here, not that we haven't been, but, you know, we've made some jokes because we have to. How else do we be Victorians? But the most disturbing part is that people are prepared to park, and I say park because until there's a real election, we don't know, but park their vote with an empty chair. Like, how?
One Nation's an empty chair in Victoria.
It's
we don't know.
Yeah, so people are prepared to say, I prefer that, which is a nothing, you know what I mean, like concept of something.
And also policy detail. What's Pauline Hanson said about Victoria? Nothing.
Other than terrible Labor.
Yeah, but that's not policy.
No, it's not.
So people are prepared to park that. They're in the 20s. They're in the 20s, yeah. And Labor and the coalition are in the 20s. That's extraordinary.
It's a pox on both their houses, right? Like, it's genuinely people saying, we just don't really like what you're offering. And, you know, I read an opinion piece in The Age yesterday which said, you know, Victorians are badly served. Like, there's no great choices for Victorians. And I think that's a sentiment you would have been getting a lot.
Oh, yeah, that's a very big sentiment. But it's, can I put on my very nerdy political reporter hat? It's amazing. Like, we're the laboratory, right? Victoria's the real laboratory. We are the real test case for which way politics goes. I'm actually, in many ways, I'm fascinated to see how it rolls out and what happens.
Quick one. Jacinta Allen came in, I think she was in her mid-20s, like a baby, in the seat of Bendigo in that big surprise Brax win in 1999. I remember it. I was very young, though, Raph.
So was the
an
Premier.
Embryo. I was an embryo. I wasn't even a working journalist yet, my friend, although I watched like a crazy lady. And she's made all the way up, you know, to premier, senior roles. Only
most successful female politician in Victoria's history. Easily.
Oh, totally. Hands down.
Yeah.
And that's the legacy question. In her outgoing speech, she mentioned, for instance, endometriosis, women's health. She was known to be very pro-choice. Like, she did significant things for women. What is her legacy?
I don't think you can dismiss those things. They are big. They do make a big difference to people's lives. Things like prescriptions for the pill being available in chemists, those things are big. I think it's also true to say something like the Metro Tunnel, which will change Melbourne, which is something that the Coalition were interested in. It's basically a cross-city, extra city loop underground here in Melbourne. That's a significant legacy, but that's not the only legacy. And they did build lots of hospitals. Or they expanded some hospitals, and they did build lots of schools. But there is, and keep in mind, Daniel Andrews kept on increasing his vote and the number of seats at every election, 2014, 2018, 2022. She was a part of that. She drove significant parts of the infrastructure agenda. However, like John Howard in 2000, after the 2004 election, they won another election. That's when the significant allegations about corruption surfaced. It is also when crime escalated significantly. We're now back to an incident rate similar to 10 years ago. So the last 4 years in particular, she's been premier for most of them. They are also a part of her legacy. And to go back to something I said earlier, a lack of a willingness and a curiosity about the powers of a watchdog, they are also a significant part of her legacy as well.
Raf, we will break because now we're going to watch the new premier of Victoria. Another day, another premier.
Head spin. No,
hasn't happened for a while, well, at least until Jacinta took over from Daniel Andrews. We have. It's a 3-3 premier term, though. Extraordinary. Thanks for joining me on Politics Now.
Always a pleasure, PK.
Now, Raf, as well as being my co-host on Politics Now, we'll have more from you in the feed in the lead up to the Victorian election. You'll be bringing us up to date with the shenanigans on a Friday in this podcast feed.
You better believe it. We'll be here in
Who's
the lead
leader,
up to the election.
Who's the leader, though? Raf in the podcast feed. I'm your leader.
PK.
Look at me in the eye. Did you like that? I knew you liked my joke. I was like, I was so ready to deliver it and you got it. Anyone who doesn't get the reference, we have a national audience. It was only 6 weeks ago that Ben Carroll was asked by a journalist to look Jacinta Allen in the eye and express his devotion.
Here I go.
Yeah, go.
I am looking you in the eye.
Yeah.
PK.
Yeah.
The Politics Now pod feed is yours.
Thank you. Good.
Come October and November. On Fridays, the pod, you will definitely be co-piloting with me.
Yeah.
And I may even be leading
no!
some of the time on
your
those Fridays.
In your dreams. All right. I love a bit of competition. Tomorrow, David Spears will be with me. We'll talk a bit more about federal politics too. There's this debate, Raf, about whether the fuel excise should come off at the end of the week. We didn't even talk about that. If you want to send us a question, send it to thepartyroom@abc.net.au and we'll try and answer it. See ya.
See you later.